Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Being a father is probably one of the greatest things to be in this world. In fact, I think it's so unique and such a wonderful calling of God. In fact, I think it is actually a calling. I believe God calls men to be fathers. We can do the fathering thing perhaps on our own, but God calls us to be fathers. And in doing so, he's challenging us with several responsibilities. And that's the difficulty that we oftentimes face, and probably the shortcomings we recognize the most when we look back over our parenting skills and how we had to learn. See, here's the interesting thing about fatherhood. Depending on how many kids you have, if you have only one kid, okay, you learn that one time how to raise that kid. That does not make you an expert on child rearing, however. Neither does having 10 kids. Because each one of those kids has to be learned and taught and mentored differently than the other kids. And so there's no manual that comes with them, so you gain and perhaps glean through your experience on how to be a good father. But I believe it is a calling, and just like any other calling, I believe God expects us to learn and glean from as many resources as possible to be able to be the best we can be as a father. And then when that isn't sufficient, to depend upon God to make up the difference, because only God can make up that difference in being a good father. We can be the best at everything any book ever teaches us to do, but we still need God's help in being a good father. And I like that, because not because I shirk any responsibility, but because I know I've got someone to help me when I fall short in the areas of being a good parent, a good father. There's three areas that I think I want to talk about, if you don't mind, about this calling that God has given every man uniquely, every father uniquely. I think there's three areas. One, he calls us to be the leader of the home. Second of all, even greater than being the leader of the home, he calls us, in fact, I think he calls all fathers to be the leader of the home. But I think he calls all, of course, Christians to be the spiritual leader of the home. And this may not always be the best, we may not always be the best at it, but at least we know that that's a calling that God has planted on our heart, and if we allow him to help us, we'll be successful in that. And the third thing, I think, is that he expects us to be an example or a representative of God on this earth in our homes. Does that make sense? And so the idea of being a leader in your home is not the conflict that a lot of people want to make it. I think God has established this, whether wives or children like it or not. Maybe that's why he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. I think he sometimes mentions that because many of the things that we fumble at doing sometimes and attempt to do as our responsibility as the leader of the home sometimes provokes them to anger. I remember when I was mad at every dad that I had. There was a time in my life that I was mad enough to strangle every dad I had, and I had four of them, so I had plenty of opportunity to strangle them, but I didn't. Fortunately, because I wanted to be free. I didn't want to be tied to that. But I learned something from every one of my experiences with different fathers. One father said something. He didn't really kind of live up to it. You know how fathers, when they're going to give you that big moment and tell you some very important thing in life, that if you follow this, you'll be successful in life, and they give you that advice as a father, and even though they don't do it themselves, they still expect you to do it kind of thing. And one father, my first stepfather, told me, he said, hey, you know, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Actually, though I lost a lot of respect for him for different reasons, I did respect what he said, and I've tried to practice that. If I'm going to do it, don't just do it haphazardly. Let's do it the best I can and try to do it right. And so I've gleaned some things from my experience with fathers, and you got to remember, stepfathers are kind of a unique breed. They come into a mixed family and they have to deal with those kids. And I know how when you're a stepchild and you have a new father, Just let me give you a little bit of insight for those of you that may not know, or if you are in a blended family, you may already understand. It is the responsibility of every one of those stepchildren to make your life a living hell. Did I say that too harshly? And by the way, I was an expert at doing that. And so every one of my stepfathers rightfully did not enjoy being my stepfather. But I give it to the credit to stepfathers because they're assuming a responsibility that was not theirs. And I admire them and respect every stepfather I ever had because they were still willing to do that with me living there. Pretty interesting. But here's the interesting thing. If you're going to be the leader of the home that God has called you to do, whether you're a Christian or not, God has set a standard and expects every father to live up to it, whether they are a Christian or not. And one day when they stand before God, as I will and other fathers will, we will be responsible for giving an answer of how we fulfilled that responsibility, Christian or not. But as Christian, as a father, Christian or not, we are the ones who should set the values of the family. It's the father's responsibility to not only lead the family, but to set the value system of the family. If you don't care how the kids grow up, you don't want to have any responsibility or any involvement on how they grow up and what they're going to become later in life, well, then you don't have to worry about it. Just let them do whatever they want to. Don't discipline, don't guide them, don't mentor them, don't give them instruction, don't point them in the right direction, don't try to teach them to live right properly and not be a little mobster like Al Capone or something, which is what my grandfather called my little brother, Al Capone. And by the way, he lived up to that name. But at any rate, the important thing is, as that responsibility a father has, Christian or not, is to set the values of the family. What are we going to accept as right and wrong in our families? Am I going to allow my family to just do anything they want to, or are we going to set values and rules? We believe this. We believe in being honest. We believe in having the kind of integrity that in every aspect of our life, we try to do the right thing. Is that the way we want our children to grow up? Then that's the way we have to exemplify that in our homes. Amen? You can't expect your children to grow up and be perfect, wonderful citizens and wonderful Christians if they have not seen somebody role model that. Amen? And I think there's three ways that kids are influenced by fathers. One, and you can detect it in the way later on they become fathers, how they become fathers and how they conduct their responsibility as a father. You learn fathering, in three ways. There may be more, but three that I want to mention. One, by what you've experienced from your father. And many times, a lot of guys will grow up and parent just like their parents did, right or wrong. Am I right? How many of you have grown up, been parents for a while, and realized, I'm just like my dad? Or I'm just like my mom? Because those are the skills that you learned. Those are the things that you learned growing up, and so that you thought that's what parenting was about. The second way that you learn parenting skills is by determining in your heart, I'm not going to be like my father. And so you try to do everything the opposite of what your father taught you or the way he... And some of that may be good because some fathers have been very inept at trying to be a good father, and consequently, you don't want to take on some of the habits of that particular role model, and so you still learn from it, and you may become one like that, or you may become one that was a role model, a good role model, but either way, it's either the good or the bad of the parenting father. And the third way I think that also influences children and their future parenting skills is by observation. I remember noting families down the street that seemed to be like, you know, Father's knows best and leave it to Beaver kind of families. Anybody remember those? Some of you are looking at me kind of blank like you never heard of Leave It to the Beaver, you know. At any rate, I observed how they parented. I thought they were the perfect family. You know, father was there all the time. They had dinner at 5 every evening. You know, he worked hard and the kids were well-behaved kids. They wouldn't play with us. I don't know why. Could have been because we were not well behaved, you know what I'm saying? And so I looked at that family and I observed that, and frankly, some of the parenting skills that I have attempted, whether I've been successful at or not, have been those that I observed from other families. And so those are the three ways, I think, main ways maybe, that influence us as fathers. But either way, however we're influenced, we still have the responsibility to try to build the values of our home and to determine the lifestyle. How are we going to live? Some of that many times is determined by your economic status, but most of it is determined by how you believe and what you want to see your children, how you want them to be fulfilled as a person. And so you determine how we're going to live. There are things that we will do as a family and things we will not do as a family. There'll be things that we believe in as a family and things that we will not believe in as a family. But nevertheless, it's the leader of the home, the father, that needs to determine that. And with the help, of course, of his wife, then you establish that in your house as the leader. You set the rules and the boundaries. You shape the type of home you want. Now, if you don't care what type of home you have, don't worry about shaping. But if you're concerned how those kids are going to grow up and how you are going to be influencing their lives, then you need to be the one shaping your family as the leader of your family. Second thing I think is a unique part of this calling, this unique way in which God has drawn us away to be an example for Him, is that we're called to be spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders. Not just leaders in the home and setting up the boundaries and all the rules and all that kind of stuff. That's what really causes your children to be provoked. But you still have to have them. You have to have parameters and boundaries. And by the way, when your kid is a hellion, you know what he's doing? He's trying to test those boundaries. Has anyone ever had one of those? Y'all look at me kind of blank there. I know all your kids were perfect, but I mean the one that you saw next door that was not, you follow what I'm saying? They need healthy boundaries, spiritually, as well as just everyday life. You need healthy boundaries. And when your kids are, and I know because I was a professional at this, you test the boundaries. You push them as far as you can, and then you know when to stop when the hammer falls. Hello? Well, maybe you as parents didn't use a hammer. Mine did. And 2x4s and whatever they could grab at the moment that I was there, you know. But most of us, we've experienced our kids. But once you set those boundaries and you make sure consistently that they're there in your family, well, there may be variations and times of testing that you still have to deal with it. But the truth of the matter is, if you set the boundaries and enforce them consistently, it won't be long that those kids will become healthy kids because they realize we don't go that far. My dad says this is the way we're going to live and we're not going to do those things. And so that boundary is set. And it doesn't take long. Those kids live the same way. You see, they learn to live by your role model. Not entirely, but their influence. As parents, we have the greatest influence. Now, your kids are going to go to school and they're going to go to high school and they're going to go on to college. And a lot of people have influence on your kids. But let me tell you something. Even in the days when they grow up and are older and have their own families and all that kind of stuff, you are still going to have the greatest influence in their lives. It doesn't matter how great the teacher is, and I had some great teachers in my life. Admired them, respect them, tried to go by their advice and all that kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, when we have healthy boundaries, spiritually as well as otherwise, our children will grow up to be, or at least have the best opportunity and chance to become the best they can be, and that's the goal. And so when we lead our family spiritually, we do so by being personally committed to Jesus Christ. Because we need to develop our own spiritual walk and build it up daily and consistently in order to be the kind of example God expects of us to be as the leaders, spiritual leaders of our homes. And so dads have a unique responsibility. It doesn't mean that the moms don't have some of the similar responsibilities. They are certainly helpmeets in the family, but the father is the one who sets that tone. And I've not always lived up to that. I've not always, I mean, I've always tried to be committed to Christ as a father. I was a Christian when all my kids came along. And I've tried to be that kind of an example, but we're not always perfect. And none of us should ever expect to be perfect. Because that's setting a goal far too high and far too lofty that none of us can reach. And that would only create frustration. And so God knows that we need Him. And I think it works that way. So that we will never forget that we need Him. And so that whatever our goal is for our family or our children, the lifestyle that we're going to live, the commitment to Christ becomes the first and most important thing. Because as a spiritual leader, how can you lead spiritually if you're not following spiritually? Hello? And so I think it's very important that as the spiritual leader, that you do what I call imprinting. That's not a new term in this church. We've used it before in other sermons. And you know what it is when like a duck or a goose is hatching. And when it's born, the first thing it sees, it starts to mimic. So hopefully the goose sees a goose. They've actually done experiments, believe it or not, in which mothers are killed or fathers are killed, and they hatched the eggs, incubated the eggs. And the first things they saw, this is where they started learning about imprinting, the first thing they saw was a human being. And the goose grew up trying to walk like a human being. He wasn't a human being. It was a goose. You know how stupid a goose looks trying to walk like a human being? And so we need to be very careful in this whole imprinting idea that what we imprint in our children is a healthy thing, especially spiritually. That the example, the first things they see as examples are we're Christians. And we live as Christians. Other things that I taught my children and imprinted in my children, and you're going to not like this, but maybe you've done the same thing in different ways, but I've always tried to imprint into my children. Connors are cool. They believe it. May not be true, but they believe it. The other thing is, Connors love each other. That's your brother. That's your sister. We don't fight. We don't strangle. We love each other. You know how hard that is to pull two cats apart? Now you get the picture. But nevertheless, that's what we tried to imprint in them. We love each other. We're a loving family. We want to see the best for each other. We don't want to just destroy them. Am I making any sense? So let me move this along, brother, rather quickly. I could give a whole lot more about that. But setting the spiritual values of the home is the same thing. You're imprinting those values that you possess yourself. You need to be the kind of example that God expects you to be so that you can mentor with substance. You have something real inside you want to mentor to your children. Of course, the third thing is you want to expose them to God so that you can pass on the baton into their lives, but also onto God so God can continue to mentor them when they're out of your direct influence. Does that make sense? You still with me? I'm moving on along here. We'll have you out of here in about 3 minutes. Third thing is God calls fathers to be good representatives of His kingdom. The first image of God that children get and probably never lose is the image of God that fathers give their children. Mostly we detect the righteousness of God as we view the father and his leadership. The second thing is, of course, under that guidance of righteousness and that mentoring of what's right in life and what's wrong in life, is also seen the heart of God, that there are rules necessary, but the love of God makes all rules doable. Makes it make sense? And so that's the third thing that I think God calls us to, that our children, if nothing else, they can never see Christ, literally, and have not seen some vision of Him of some kind. They will see Christ first in you as the Father. And that, I think, is the most important part of our calling, is to represent the kingdom and to represent it well. I think fathering, as far as a man is concerned, is the greatest calling in a lifetime. My opinion is this, and don't get me wrong, and don't put words in my mouth about this, but I want to tell you something. The highest calling of any parent or any married couple without children, doesn't make any difference. The highest calling and the first calling of any individual is to minister to their family. That's your first calling. Now, that doesn't mean that you do not fulfill the other responsibilities, because God has called you to come to church and to worship God in a corporate way and to gain strength from one another and encouragement from one another and to get advice from Ken Gust how to handle grandchildren or Tom Alexander on how to guide their children. That's why we gather in the house of God, because God strengthens us and enriches us by what we see happening in other people's lives as God builds His image in them. And so church is very important. In fact, the Bible says you need to go to church. You need to be exposed to God. And so the most important calling we have is to expose our families to God in such a way that spiritually they are ignited and brought to life in Christ. And second of all, that they can see it walked out in some human being in their life of great importance, a parent, walking that out in front of them. Falling down on their face, failing before God many times, but getting right back up, dusting yourself off, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in us again, and continue following Jesus Christ, regardless of failure or problem or disaster. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Him. And so I think it's a great calling to be a father. In fact, I think we're required to be the kind of father that leaves a legacy. And as a father, I think it's our calling to leave good memories with our children, so that when they stand at your bedside when you're about to depart this whole world, they won't be throwing rocks at you. They'll be talking kind words and missing you when you're gone. That's a legacy. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.